Louie, welcome to Tuscaloosa. I hope you're doing well, my friend.
Doing most fantastic. I think like most college football fans, we're all waiting for that August 28th, kind of the start of the college football season. You know, you said Alabama fans are rooting for Coach Sumlin because he's one of yours. I can tell you right now, Aggie fans are rooting for Coach Sumlin pretty much too.
No doubt. And he was born in this state. You always pull for guys that are from this state. And Kevin Sumlin's got that ties. I hope he's successful there at Texas A&M. And let me just ask you, I want to go back a couple of days ago. Seems like about a week ago. SEC Media Days. You've covered that event now twice. Big electric atmosphere. Your thoughts as far as the overall evaluation of SEC Media Days?
SEC Media Days are unlike anything I would say I've covered in sports. And look, I've covered World Series. I've covered not just college events working here for Sports Radio 1150. I've been doing this 15, 20. I've lost track the number of years. SEC Media Days, I've joked with people. It's like, you know, when you go to Vegas and you're in a casino, right? There's no clocks. There's no time. You're just in a room and you just keep going and you don't see the sunlight. SEC Media Days, it just feels like it begins on Monday, and then when you head out to your rental car or you head out towards the airport, you see the sun again. And you're like, wow, did that really just happen? It is awesomely intense and fun. I want to give a props out, you know, shout out to all the Alabama fans, because it's day number four, and, you know, people are starting to get tired, and we've been there for 5 days, and you've heard the coaches are starting to blur together, and then you've got that huge Alabama contingent in the lobby of the Winfrey going nuts, just sitting there waiting to get a glimpse of a player or Coach Saban himself. So I thank all the Alabama fans.
Well, and they do energize you there on day number four, and you're absolutely correct. Even though it's fun, it is a grind for those 3 days. And when Alabama shows up, Louie, the only way I can describe it, I never was able to witness Elvis Presley walk into a room, but that's the only way I can describe it. When Nick Saban walks in the room, it's very similar to Elvis Presley.
I remember that Thursday morning, get out of my hotel room, walk in the hall, four guys in front of me. You could tell it's two dads with their two sons, all four Roll Tide Roll, Crimson Tide fans. They're talking about one of them made some money selling season tickets. And the overall thing I picked up, I'm not trying to eavesdrop, they're loud, I'm loud, so we can hear each other, but they drove like 3 hours in, rented a hotel room, and then they're going to stay all day, camp out in line 2.5-3 hours early, have to stay, you know, in that lobby for about a 3-hour window. So look at all this time and a financial investment just so if all goes well, they can get a 2-minute glimpse of Coach Nick Saban. That's hardcore. That's fanatic. The definition of the word. That was awesome.
Well, and I'm not sure if you even missed this, and we ended up finding a fan of our long-lost program on the internet, but there was a guy there that was from Australia, and he had traveled 8,000 miles. I'll send you the photo via the text message. It's a nice little tweet out. But yeah, there was a guy that had a sign up, and he said, I traveled all the way from Australia to meet Nick Saban. Traveled 8,000 miles. Now, Louie, you and I love the game of college football, but we're not that crazy, are we?
I would not travel 6,000, 8,000 miles to meet any, you know, sports figure at all, maybe Scarlett Johansson. But no, not there's no sports figure that fits that bill.
Yeah, well, and I think that's the fun part. It's Alabama fans are unique. But you know what? I look at Texas A&M fans. You guys are also. And I think that maybe is what's worked us in the SEC as far as easy transition. No offense to Aggie fans, but y'all are a little fanatic too, man. Y'all carried over the top and look at that new Kyle Field. It's superb-looking stadium.
You know what? No Aggie fan will be offended by that because Texas A&M fans, maybe just a drop in the fanatical world, okay? Maybe just a step back behind Alabama fans, but I'd say definitely at the top of the SEC because A&M's got the traditions. They've got the passion. Look, high school football in the state of Texas, it's not a joke. It is a religion. You grow up, and then, of course, you go to A&M, and people that don't even go to school, you know, they never went to the college level, they pick one, and that emotion and that allegiance, you're either wearing burnt orange or you're wearing maroon. There's no in-between the two. Aggie fans are almost, maybe just that one step behind Bama, because Bama, you guys have a next level of crazy that I love, but A&M fans, just a step behind.
Let me talk about Kyle Field. If you had a chance to drive by that stadium, sort of maybe get some private tours. Tell us what Alabama fans are going to be in store for, not in 2014, but in 2015 when they return the trip to College Station.
Well, at this point, when they start the 2014 season, the entire renovation project's only going to be halfway done. there's a whole nother 2015 home opener is supposed to be the It's All Done debut stage. I've been following it, of course, online. I want to give the NM Athletic Department tons of credit for the way they publicized it with photos, with a video camera you could follow. This past weekend, you know, got back from SEC Media Days on a Friday. Well, Sunday, I actually, for the first time, just drove on that part of campus. And I didn't drive my car, mind you, to the 50-yard line. That didn't quite happen that way. But got a first chance just to be overwhelmed and in awe of the changes and the vastness of it all. One of the magical elements of this renovation, it's not just Kyle Field that's getting the facelift. It's everything around Kyle Field. It's turning almost that quadrant of campus into a football-worshipping, football game day mecca. It's amazingly beautiful. Halfway done, and then 2 years from now, 2015, well, that's a year from now, 2015, that's going to be when everything's done. I'm as excited as anyone else. And Kyle Field already, you talk to anyone that made the trip. You could talk to Alabama fans that came here last year. They never noticed the stadium was old, things like that, because they just noticed the fans and the passion and the fun and the midnight yell and the guys dressed differently and they're yelling and there's no cheerleaders and all that kind of stuff. The stadium will now join the conversation.
Louis Bellina right now helping us out. And I love featuring radio guys. Don't tell our newspaper folks, okay? But I love the energy that you're bringing here tonight. Talking about College Station, Texas A&M, SEC football. You've almost got me fired up, man. I mean, we're 30 days out, and this is our final week of our vacation because fall camp starts. And I just want to know, point blank, how are you and your other media friends there in College Station and around the state of Texas going to live without Johnny Manziel?
Easily. You got Coach Sumlin. He is a coach that Johnny was not his first Heisman candidate. I believe it was his first Heisman winner. That A&M offense last year wasn't his first best in conference, top 10 in the country. Coach Sumlin is a coach. He's done it at every stop, whether he was on the staff over at Oklahoma, head coach at Houston, head coach now at A&M. And that's the one thing to remember about college, okay? Coaches on the pro level, I believe the players are more important than the coach, way more important. On the college level, the coach, the system, the dynasty, the year in, the year out, the 10-plus wins, the coach is the most important thing. Coach Sumlin is more important than Johnny Manziel. Now, you never want to discredit the best player in program history because that was Johnny Manziel, but you look at the Texas A&M offense. A, in Sumlin, we trust. And if you don't, then you can have all the doubts and fears. But I also can look beyond Coach Sumlin. They've got three wide receivers, and I'm telling you, barring that injuries, which you know you can't control, Speedy Noel, NFL caliber. Ricky Seals-Jones, NFL written all over him. Malcolm Kennedy, a top returning wide receiver. Loaded in the wide receiving core. Nothing but five stars coming in with this incoming class and committed for the next class coming up, too. Wide receiving stable, not running back. The stable with Trey Williams, and I love Trey Carson. There's so much talent around whoever's going to be that quarterback replacing Johnny. Got a first-round NFL draft pick in the O-line. That's Cedric Ablehi. I will tell you, I believe Jarvis Harrison will get picked 2. A&M went the JUCO route to get some depth. They got 2 of the top JUCO players in the country. They're O-linemen both, but in the country, to join this offensive line staff. So Kyle Allen, who I think it'll be, if not Kenny Hill, so be it. They got weapons, man, and they got Coach Sumlin. That's how you replace one guy. You replace him with a program.
I look at the defensive side of the football. I think you would agree. If you're going to win games in 2014, that defense has got to be better. You've got 9 starters returning. That may be a question mark as far as some injuries. Nonetheless, you've got a number of starters returning. Can the defense be better in 2014 than it was in 2013?
The defense can be better. But I'd like to put a disclaimer. They don't have to be better, actually. There's some holes. Safety, back end of your defense. You know, the guys that are covering for the corners, the guys that if they get over the top on them, we're talking 6 points per mistake. Safety, I don't know if they have one guy that'll start the year that I would call as an SEC safety. Plus, they have no depth at the position, too. At the linebacking core, their best linebacker, one of 3 Aggies that won't be with the team, that have been kicked off or left of their own choice. You whatever, fill in the blank, what you prefer this offseason. So, linebacking core is actually worse than last year. Safety's worse than last year. The cornerback position's actually really good, but remember with cornerback, if you want these guys to hold it 12 seconds, they can't. No cornerbacks. I don't care. Pick a team, pick a cornerback deal. Best
Deion
in the country.
Sanders
can't
couldn't
hold
do it
that long.
Yeah, I mean, Deion Sanders couldn't do it.
Yeah, and A&M had no pass rush last year, and will they get one this year? So they don't have to be better. Can they? Yes. How? D D-line. You got Zaycoven Henderson coming in, defensive tackle, as well as Myles Garrett. Circle those two. Maybe this first year, you know, everyone's got to learn it's the SEC. You don't just pop up to start them. But I promise you, by their junior years, everybody's going to know about those names. So their talent, how fast will they come along? If the defensive line can be better, if they can win that battle at the line of scrimmage, then just a little bit of pass rush, just a tiny bit, and then have those corners who are actually really good, don't leave them on the island too long. They can be better, but the scary part is they don't have to.
I look at Texas A&M. It's all built on momentum in college football. We know that. You get to winning. Winning sort of sets up winning the next week. And if you lose, you sort of get that losing mentality. I look at the Aggie schedule, and I look at South Carolina to open up. You guys could go on an amazing run if you're able to take the Aggies on the road at South Carolina. That's the matchup that I'm looking at. And we're about 30-plus days away as we look forward to that Thursday night matchup. Your responsibility to get the SEC kicked off. What's the chances of the Aggies going to Columbia, South Carolina, and upsetting Steve Spurrier and the Gamecocks?
First game of the year. Both teams are going to be rusty. There's no such thing as midseason form. First game of the year, no Jadeveon Clowney. They also lost the defensive tackle. Excuse me, forgetting his name. Kid was a stud, all-SEC player himself. So D-line adjustment, South Carolina. Get rid of the best quarterback in their program history also. They've got major adjustments. You know how game one goes. There's sloppy penalties. Things aren't quite clicking yet. Can South Carolina offensively take advantage of the A&M defensive weaknesses? In week five, I know they can. In week one, that's the scary part about a week one game. It's kind of anybody's bet. I'm actually confident in the A&M offense, and I mean coming out of the box swing. I mentioned all that talent. Legit NFL, legit talent. They're not going to put a lot on this kid's shoulders, Kyle Allen or Kenny Hill. They're going to let the playmakers make plays. There's a chance. I think South Carolina is appropriately the favorite. I've seen anywhere from 9 to 10.5, so we're talking a two-score game. I think South Carolina's going to win the East. I'm big on them this year. But A&M has a chance because their offense, the talent out there is good enough. Also, it is the first game. One thing I want to throw in, there's X factors everywhere, right? Coach Sumlin and his staff is the best game planning, game week preparing, you know, in-game adjustment staff I've seen in a long, long time. His coordinators win a lot of battles against guys on the other sideline.
So if they're your pick to win the SEC East, who is the West?
In the West, I'm going to Alabama. I don't see any reason why not to. I mean, yes, you have to replace one of your most successful quarterbacks, but, you know, that's the one thing. Some schools, oh, we lost four starters, and they're sorting through three stars and disappointing four stars. If Alabama loses four starters, gee, they're sorting through like 7 5 stars over three recruiting classes at each position. You know, it's the problem of the rich, you know, the other side of the world problems that Alabama has. That's why they're the pick. Auburn, last year, look, you can't get that many breaks 2 years in a row. They'll be better. I don't know if they're good enough to make up for a Hail Mary kick six. You know, and A&M, a lot of people don't talk about that one because it was before all that. But Johnny had to get hurt, a missed referee penalty. They got breaks in that game, too. I don't think they can repeat. I still think they're 9-10 wins. I mean, they're a great team, but I don't think they're the favorite. In the infamous, okay, is one of the Mississippi schools finally going to do it, or are we going to have to talk about it for like the fifth straight year of how they're going to break out next year? Will Ole Miss or Mississippi State step up this year? The wild card, which always seems to be one, A&M 2 years ago, Auburn last year, but that's why they're wild cards. You can't count on them. No, me, Alabama's the pick.
Louis Belina, helping us out. The radio station that we've sort of built a relationship with, Sports Radio 1150, The Zone, there in College Station. Final question, Louis. I'm going to make you, even though I know you don't gamble, I'm going to put you in Vegas just for a couple of minutes. I looked at the odds, and I almost thought this was a misprint. When I look at win total for A&M, they got it at 7. Why in the world? I mean, to me, I'm going over, and I'm putting the house on it, okay? I'm going the farm, the house, the car, the wife, the daughter, the preacher, everybody. There's no way that this is under. Tell me that it's over in College Station.
I do these projections myself. I came up with 7.5. So I only had a half-game difference. The problem is the defense, and the problem is the road schedule. You know, they're going to Alabama. Oh, man, right? Going to Auburn. They're going to South Carolina. There's not a road game. that, you know, at Mississippi State's the one that's the winnable, called a swing game, defines whether you're 6-6 or 8-4 kind of game. The other three are against the top of the division, the two teams I picked to win each division, right? Plus Auburn, the defending national championship runner-up. That's their road schedule. There's not a lot of wins to be had there. They get the four non-conference. That's four W's right there. So then at home, where it's LSU, okay, Missouri, and then you mix in Ole Miss, and those LSU will be favored, Ole Miss, A&M, I think they're three or four favored over them. So you get, there's only like six wins, two swing games, three losses. So 7.5 is what I had. You said Vegas at 7. Now, when I used to gamble, not that I do anymore, it's the kind of one I don't touch, because if I got the number at 7 and Vegas at 7, I'm not going to bet a push. I don't see a good bet in there. Now, I will throw this at you. We've talked about it on my show. When you have a great coach, you take all those things you see on paper and, you know, those projections you made and all those things that make sense, and then you go +1 or +2. Because that's what a great coach, not a good coach, not a very good coach, that's what a great coach is. A great coach is worth that 1-2 wins per season. Might not make sense, you don't see it on paper, but that's why he's great. How many coaches are great coaches? 5-7 max? If someone is a great coach, A&M can go 8, and there's your over. If A&M is just a good to very good coach, A&M's about a 7-win team.